Chocolate snob. I really like really good chocolate, and I'm glad that we have a holiday that celebrates chocolate. But let's face it, it's not the good stuff. It really isn't. Some of you guys might say, what's wrong with Hershey's or Cadbury? I'm sorry about that. I'll pray for you. But all the same, this day is a special, awesome day. And it's not because of chocolate. As great as chocolate is, that's not the reason. This is a moment for us to be able to truly stop and think about what it is that God has done for us. A moment in history that has changed mankind forever. A moment in history that has had a greater impact and a greater influence than any other single event. I mean, the reality of it is the way that we celebrate Easter and all the things that we do around it doesn't even come close to giving it the glory and the significance that it should have. And I think sometimes we can actually diminish the significance of the resurrection, even in our own hearts, as time goes by, as we do our traditions, as we celebrate different things, and we don't truly stop and recognize the impact of what has happened. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to dig in. Father God, we just come before you right now. You are an awesome, mighty God. And Father, you have gone to great lengths to redeem us. We are your creation, and the reality is you don't need us, but yet you have rescued us. You have loved us. You have lifted us up. You have set us free. You have provided a way through your Son that our past and our present and our future sins are wiped clean. And you have given us this incredible gift of grace. Father, I just ask that if there are those here today that haven't had the faith, that haven't had the ability to truly grasp, that Father, that your Spirit would begin to speak to their hearts even now. That Father, that there would be a moment to being able to reflect and realize the importance of the resurrection of your Son, Jesus. Father God, we just praise you for all that you have done, and we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So when you look at scriptures, I want to look at some different ones here that point to what we are talking about. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting here in verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, the good news, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firm to the words I've preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I receive, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That is the pinnacle of the gospel. It's not the full gospel, because the good news, the reality of the good news, is more than just that Christ died for us. The reality is that the whole scripture contains the good news. Starting in the very beginning, that there is a God. Now, that is the good news, that this doesn't happen by chaos, but that there is a God, there is somebody who is in control, there is somebody who cares about us, that created us. The reality that it goes on from there, the good news is not only that God exists, but that God created us, that he created all mankind, that we're not supposed to be at war or hatred towards one another because of the color of your skin or whatever it is. The reality is he created us all, and he created us in his image. See, there's some incredible stuff all the way through the scriptures. And the reality is we come and we celebrate today the resurrection. But so many of us also dig through the scriptures on a daily basis to learn and grasp more about who God is and what he's done in our life. This becomes a lifeline to us. It becomes one of those things that feeds us the reality of how we're supposed to think and how we're supposed to perceive this world. Because a lot of times when we're left to our own devices, we begin to chase the desires of our heart, which lead us away from God. And we recognize that. But here it is. Paul says, hey, this is of first importance. Because without this moment, All the rest of it is good news, but it's not news that saves us. This is the moment where it's like, here it is. And it's not just the death on the cross, because the death on the cross is important, because that is actually the sacrificial. that's the reality that Christ died for my sins. He took my penalty. That my evil desires, my past, the things that I've done in selfishness, the way that I've hurt other people, the way that I've walked against God, those things that I crave that often I know are against God and I indulge in those things, the reality is those things deserve death. And they bring death into my life. But the ultimate death is separation from God, my Creator, my Father. And so I come to a place of realizing that's not what I want in my life. That's not what I want to be. I don't want to be driven by hatred and envy and jealousy and all these things that flood my life. I don't want to be driven by any of that stuff. But yet I can't seem to stop it. And so I begin to look inside and I realize I need help. I need a Savior. I need to be rescued. And so in the midst of being rescued or desiring to be rescued, what happens is Christ steps into the scene. And he dies on the cross in order to pay for the penalty of my past. But the significance is he doesn't stay there dead in the grave. He rises on the third day. That is the pinnacle. Because his resurrection proves who he was. His resurrection proves that he paid not only the price of my sin, but there is a hope of a future afterwards. His resurrection is the key. Matter of fact, without his resurrection, the rest of it all falls apart. And he is it. There is no other spiritual leader that has ever done this. He is the one. This is the good news. This is the gospel. This is the thing that we hold on to. This is what we need to recognize and cherish. If you go down in 1 Corinthians, I'll go down to 1 Corinthians here, still in chapter 5. Go down to verse 12. Notice how Paul continues to speak about this. He says, "But if it is preached that Christ has been risen from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he has raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. And if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised or been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Because we have this hope for something that would not happen. That's why we would be pitied. Because the reality is if Christ hasn't been raised, then all the rest of it is pointless. But he has been raised. And what's really cool about it is there's this incredible testimony. Notice he talks about, man, if he hasn't been raised, then I'm a false witness. Because this is exactly what we said. I want you to go back up just prior to this. Back up to verse 5. So he's talking about the resurrection. He says, "And he appeared to Cephas," which is Peter, "and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living." In other words, go talk to them. They're still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and he appeared to the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. This is really important. Because you realize the folks that he just talked about lived the rest of their life proclaiming Christ, totally surrendered over to him because of this incredible miracle of Jesus rising from the dead. And so the gospel is proclaimed. They go throughout the world proclaiming what has happened and letting people know. And you know what happens to them? Almost every one of them is put to death for this testimony. Almost every one of them is chased out of town. They are stoned. They are, and not like the Montana, you know, Missoula stoned. They were literally stoned with rocks. They were whipped. They were beat. They were hung on crosses. It is crazy to think about the testimony of who the apostles were and the people that followed him that saw Jesus rise from the dead. Because they gained nothing out of it in this world. There is no popularity that is worth going out and being beat to death. And yet, they continued to proclaim, no, this is the truth. I cannot deny it. The fact that they were willing to do that goes to the point that they were standing on something that was incredible and they knew it. They weren't looking at this thing going, oh man, if I go through all this misery and pain and all this suffering, I'm going to die. And wouldn't that be great? Because somewhere later on in life, people will go, oh, wasn't that a good person? No. They're going through this going, this is the truth. I cannot deny it. And the fact that Christ died and he rose again from the grave, I will go to the grave proclaiming it because of what he's done for me. See, we have this testimony that is incredible. We have this reality that is coming. And to be honest, it's the pinnacle of what Christianity is all about. And to me, it's funny because so many people want to argue about, well, I don't want to be a Christian because of, well, you know, this happened in history. Or I don't want to be a Christian because, you know, I'm not too sure about this doctrine over here or this thing over here. And it's like, you mean you have no problem about somebody raising from the dead? That's not your issue? I don't know about you guys, but that's the hardest part to buy. Is it not? I mean, how many of you guys know somebody has been raised from the dead after 3 days? Oh, yeah, you know, my brother last week, you know, it's no big deal. You know, it happens all the time. No, it doesn't. This is it. But what's crazy about it is when it comes to Christianity, when you're talking to somebody else, they'll find 100 other things to debate about. It's like, why not point out the biggest obvious one? You get rid of the resurrection and the whole thing falls apart. It's all useless. It's all pointless. See, the resurrection is huge. This is what we look at and we build our life off. It becomes part of the way that we even celebrate who we are as believers. Look over here in Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now we're going to come back to it, but think about this right here. Baptism is part of becoming a believer of Christ. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it is the testimony of being able to go before everybody and say, hey, listen, I believe this. And I'm going to identify myself with Christ. I am going to identify that I believe this thing. And so it is the symbol of being dead and buried under the water and risen anew. It's the reality that we're saying, I want to be like Christ. I am putting myself in the same place. My old self is dying. The part of me that used to live for sin and gratifying my desires, the part of me that lives for my identity, for who I am, the part of me that goes against the grain of what God has created in reality, I am burying. As Paul would say in other places, I crucify myself, but yet I live. See, we carry in ourselves, in our mind, the way that we think and process as believers in Christ, that is not my sin nature. It is not my past that I want to glorify. The reality is I want to live a new life, to be born again. And so we even identify with Christ as far as being buried in our baptism, and risen again. Let's go back here, verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was risen from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection like this. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. There's another way of putting this whole thing. Look over here at Titus. Titus chapter 3. I love this little section because it kind of puts it all in a nutshell. And I mean, not like a Paul nutshell, but like a nutshell. If you don't know Paul, Paul can sometimes put things in a nutshell that just makes them bigger. So here it is. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy, he saved us, through the washing and rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having a hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. That's our life. That is the gospel story. That is the reality of the change that happens in us. When we truly accept what Jesus has done on the cross, when we receive it, when we realize it's not by my works or by my efforts. And here's the crazy part about it. Is once we do that, it seems like we have a lifetime to learn from then how to really truly rest in his grace and not in our works. To truly rest in the fact that he's got me. I'm saved. I'm loved. And it's not by my efforts. It's not by my strengths that I was saved. And it's not by my efforts and my strength that I remain saved. It seems like we have this paranoid view sometimes of Christianity where it's like, okay, here it is. I have received Jesus Christ. I've received this grace. My sins are forgiven from the past. That is awesome. And now if I mess up, I got to figure out some way to be able to take care of this. And I'm going to work hard and do these things. The struggle is we do have a sin nature. And Paul tells us, don't indulge in it. He tells us we need to crucify it. Sometimes it raises its ugly head, and the reality is we need to rest because it builds our faith to rest in the grace of God, in the grace of what Christ has done for us, to realize, no, it's okay. He's got me. It's not my righteousness that I'm justified. He's the one who is at work. And here's the glory of it all, is Jesus told his disciples, hey, you want me to go through this? Not only for your own salvation, but if I go through this, then I get to send to you the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit inside you, he will change you. He will change your desires. He will rewrite your mind. He will help you to be able to focus on the things of God because he has the mind of Christ. He has the mind of God. And so if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, here's the reality of it. You have the Holy Spirit inside you. You are bought and you are sealed. You are bought and sealed with a price, the death of Christ. And so you are now his. When God looks at you, he sees in you the Holy Spirit. He sees Christ has sanctified you, not because of the things that you've done, because he sees you through his Son. And he loves you. And he'll rescue you. I love the way that Paul talks about our sin nature. He talks about our sin nature in the sense that it is this cancer, this thing inside of us that literally has control of us, that until we receive Jesus, we're a slave to it. But once we receive Christ, then we have this choice. We are no longer a slave. I no longer have to bow to its control over me, but that literally I can step away from it and be freed from that. And I love the picture of looking at it as this cancer, because to me it's like when you look at somebody that's dealing with cancer, when you look at somebody that's struggling, you don't look at them and say, oh, that's a bad person. Matter of fact, you look at them and you say, I really feel for you because you're going through pain, you're going through struggling because of something that's inside you, not because of who you are. And I believe that's how God looks at us. When we're his sons and daughters, he looks at us and says, you're my child. And the more that you actually struggle with sin, the more that you actually struggle with the things of the past, the more you wrestle with this disease that's inside of you, I think there's more compassion. I think sometimes as believers, we feel like he gets judgmental. He gets angry. I honestly believe when I look through Scripture, what it talks about is, man, where there's sin, where there's transgression, grace abounds all the more. It's like, how can that be? Because he separates it. He looks at it and he says, this is not who you are. This is not who you want to be. And I got you. And I know that's not who you want to be and who you are because you've chosen me. The heart of who you are wants to be righteous. The heart of who you are wants to be connected to your Heavenly Father. So regardless of how much sin, how much garbage, guys, I know a lot of you, and there's been a lot of garbage in this room. And God's got grace for all of it. And he loves you beyond it. Even if mankind cannot. The reality is he's got it totally covered because he cares about you. If there are things in your life that you're going, well, I don't know if I can totally surrender this. Listen to me. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter what you're wrestling with. What matters is do you want to be in his presence? Do you want to receive what he's done for you? Christ has not only died for you, but he's proven everything that he said is to be true because he rose again. You don't rise again if God sits there and goes, well, there's a complete liar. Maybe I should let him rise up. That's not what it's going on. The reality is the fact that he's rose again is a proof that what he was talking about and who he is and the relationship that he has with our Heavenly Father and who he is as part of God is true. And so we have this proof, crazy, incredible proof. And we no longer have to be a slave to sin. We have this grace that's been given to us. Look over here to Romans chapter 6, verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was risen from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has a mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives for God. I don't know if you guys realize this, but when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are identified with Christ. So much so that our traditions go to the place of baptism, of being buried and risen again. That we have the symbolism that we hold on to that says, hey, listen, this is a testimony that is what's happened in my life. My old ways, my sin nature, I am burying that. I am crucifying that. And I want to live a new creature. I want to be born again. I want to walk as Christ would walk. That's what we claim. I don't know how many of you guys think about this, but the reality of two is you need to realize that you're resurrected people. If we are identifying ourselves with Christ, we are raised again. Death no longer has mastery over you. You might fall asleep here, but you will not die forever. We have a heavenly Father, and we have a heavenly home. And not only that, the reality of it is your sin nature, the things of the past, you can put to death anytime you want. That might slide into your life, but God still loves you and cares for you. And the reality is, the more that those things happen in our life, the more we come back to a place of realizing that Christ has died for us, the more we realize how much he loves us. The more love that we can grasp, the more we begin to accept ourselves in his presence. When we really begin to grasp the love of God, you can't help but to love others. When you really begin to grasp that he does so much to woo you, he loves you. You know the song, "Oh, How He Loves You"? There's that phrase in there that, depending on which church you go to, it gets changed. And it's that phrase that heaven meets earth. And he talks about, like, sloppy wet kiss. Some churches use that phrase, the sloppy wet kiss. What will you use? We change it a little bit. Unforeseen kiss, like an unforeseen kiss. And I like the unforeseen kiss, because the sloppy wet kiss is like, that's just kind of, I don't know, that's kind of weird. You know? It's hard to think about it. But you know what? The more I realize how much God loves me, the more I think I'm willing to accept the sloppy wet kiss. Because there's something about it. Of realizing, man, he's got you. He cares for you. There are some of you in this room that haven't surrendered because you're not willing to receive the kiss. You don't think you're able to be loved. You don't think you're at the stage where it's okay to be loved. I'm telling you right now, guys, he loves you all the more. He really, really does. He cares about you. You may sit there and say, man, I've got some bad stuff in my past that I can't even forgive myself about. He knows. It's not hidden from him. And the scriptures tell us, while we were his enemy, while we were fighting against him in our own desires and our own evilness, he still loved us. That he sent his son to die for us. He's gone to great lengths to redeem you. And he waits patiently. That's why we're not home yet. We're not home yet because of his love. Because he waits patiently. Because he cares for you. I believe that one day, God knows, one day when that last person that truly wants to surrender to him finally does, I think he's like, okay, finally, let's do this thing now. And we'll go. I would like to go. I enjoyed this real, but it's going to be so much better. This is just a shadow of what is yet to come. And if this is a shadow, man, I love Montana. I love the woods. I love all of it. I love the activities. There's so much that I enjoy here. So it's not like I'm tired of this world. But if this is just a shadow of what is to come, I'm ready for the next. Bring it on. If this is just a glimmer of what is to be happening, and if you're the last person, dang nabbit, accept Christ. I'm ready to go. Let's do this thing. No, in all seriousness, guys, whatever's holding you back from being able to be loved, because that's really what it boils down to, you're holding yourself back from being able to be loved. It's time to surrender it. Time to crucify it. Time to stop making excuses. Time to put it at the cross and say, God, it's yours. You already know. for some crazy, stupid reason that I don't get, you still love me. When you can finally get to a place of taking his love, not only is there salvation, but the reality is your life will change. And the more that we focus in on his love and how he loves us, the more my life changes. Even now, the more I focus in on his love, the more the things of this earth grow strangely dim. The more I focus in on his love, the more passion I have for other people. The more I focus on his love, the more peace and joy and purpose I have in my life. The more I focus in his love, my life literally changes inside out. The more I focus on his love, I wake up with a hope and a joy in the day. The more I focus on his love, the more I have compassion for my man and fellow man that's around me, those that are in pain and those that are hurting. The more I focus on his love, it changes everything.
Amen.
That's what this day is about. Chocolate's not a bad way to celebrate. But man, there is a life-changing experience that is just waiting for you. And there's a life-changing experience that those of you that have received him, you have received and maybe holding back a little bit because you're still trying to work it out in your own strength. Allow the Holy Spirit to work. Allow his love to saturate your life. And experience the grace of God. Father God, we come before you. Your scriptures tell us the only reason why we can come before you is because of what Christ has done. That, Lord, because you have loved us, that you have sacrificed your Son, that there is none who stands to condemn us, that nothing can separate us from your love. And not only that, because of these things, we can enter into the Holy of Holies. We can enter into the throne room, that we can lay down before you the request of our hearts, that you see us and know us totally and completely, and yet you love us, and we are your children, and you rejoice like a father rejoices over his kids. Father, you are excited about us. And that may seem strange and weird to some of us, but the reality is you love us beyond even what we understand what love is. For you are the God of love. So, Father God, help us to grasp, help us to receive, help us to love others, help us to understand, help us to walk differently, help us to rise above our own sin nature, help us to walk in a way that glorifies you and pleases you, help us to walk in a way that others would be drawn to you because of the way that we live, the way we think, the way that we act, the way that we show your love. You are an awesome, mighty God. Father, help us not to be distracted. Don't let us play like the rest of the world where we want to nitpick at little things here and there when the reality is it focuses straight down to the resurrection. Let us grasp that is what has happened and we too are resurrected people. We are born again. We have walked out of the grave. We can look and claim you as our Father, and death has no mastery over us anymore. It has no sting, it has no power. You are to be praised above all things. So we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Buried beneath thy shame, who could carry that kind away? It was by tomb until I met you. I was reading the dark alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my turn till I met you. That I know. The old day knew when I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. And now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. Cause when you call my name,
everybody.
Hey.
Hey.
No.
Yes.
Yes. No. Hey. Ho. Yeah. Happy Easter. It's good to be back. I might have shut it off again.
No,
we got a new logo. Have you guys seen the new, the updated logo? It's like the new Zelda. It's like, that's like the difference between the original Nintendo and like video games now. Yeah, I picked up one of the stickers too. Super sweet. That's it. We're probably going to double in size. Oh, as a church, just because of the logo.
That's right.
I would. I would come here for that logo. Here's your save the date card. I don't know if we have any left, but May 3rd, the first thing coming up is Serve 406. You can talk to John. You can register online at serve406.org. Not .com. I always screw those ones up. So Serve 406 is a day where churches from throughout Missoula get together and we serve our community. It's a really cool opportunity. I know I am leading one. I'm going to go to Home Resource, I think. I like the Home Resource people. And there's all sorts of projects for any skill level, any type of thing that you could ever imagine doing. They're going to have something for you, all ages, kids, adults. Please sign up. It's a really cool experience. You get a free T-shirt. I mean, who doesn't need a free T-shirt to go with your free sticker? So, looks like there's a barbecue coming up. Hiawatha Trail. I've never done the Hiawatha Trail. It's a bike trail. Best bike trail in the world because it's all downhill. Goes over a bunch of really tall trestles. It's the old Milwaukee Road. Did you guys know there was a 400-mile-long electric train from Deer Lodge to Spokane? I did not, but there was. And this is on the old railroad grade. It starts up on the Idaho border, Montana-Idaho border. So I'd like to do that. I'm just like running through them for my own my own self. I apparently haven't really paid enough attention. Also, there's no. But the thing you really want to do is scan that QR code, get signed up for FlockNote. It'll send you the notifications. Also, when you go to our website, you can sign up for Connect groups. There are some more Connect groups that just started. The summertime is starting, so new Connect groups are starting all the time if you want to go on hikes, all that. Feeding the masses. So we, as a church, have started really cooking meals for all sorts of people in all sorts of different situations and life circumstances, and we need your help. If you would like to cook a meal to help people in all sorts of different, you know, whether there's health issues or having a baby or just helping people out for an event, this is your chance to use your sweet cooking skills. Oh, where's Keenan? He's got the sweet skills. There you go. I think you should sign up and just cook him dessert for dinner. His desserts are amazing. So anyway, there's your QR code, or you can text that 84567. That's pretty easy. Okay, what else we got? Wild card. Our new logo. Boom. And the QR code to sign up for all those Connect groups and all the cool stuff all the cool kids do. And I did see one of those things on Save the Date said there'll be no church. So it's really good to be on FlockNote because it'll tell you when there's no church, which is way easier than showing up here. So anyway, it's good to see everybody again, and I hope you have a great rest of your Easter. Peace out. Peace out, yo.